Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Well, good morning again. So we're in the fourth lesson in this Lenten period called Path to Awakening. And, you know, just to help you, if you're kind of new with us especially, to help you understand, my approach is more the mechanics of the process. You know, typically in Christianity especially, they just say, have faith. Okay, and you got to figure out what does that really mean, right? Or when Jesus said, you know, do not worry about your life. And as I heard one minister that said, that just means don't worry. But, you know, you're going, well, what does that mean? How do I go about doing that? And, you know, as I study the great masters, you know, they give more of the mechanics of it than just telling you to do it. So even with Jesus, if you really looked into his teachings, he gives you the teaching, but he also gives you the mechanics, and he's also demonstrating it. He's out demonstrating the mechanics and how they work. So that's sort of my process, is that I'm always looking for the mechanics of the process. I mean, just as simple as Paramahansa Yogananda, his mechanics are read little, meditate more, think about God all the time. You see, so you get it, all right? And so that's sort of the process we're working with. Now, how many people have ever heard of the word preternatural? It's kind of a weird word, isn't it? Preternatural. It means something that occurs that is beyond what is normal or natural. That's sort of an ancient word. We sort of use the word supernatural now, all right, but preternatural. And it's what we might call a miracle. So a preternatural experience is what we would call a miracle. It's something that happened that's beyond what is normal. And we've all had preternatural experiences at one time or another. All of these lessons actually are designed to help us to become aware of how do I get to a state of consciousness where I can have a preternatural experience on purpose. I can call up a miracle. Is that, you get it? And because when we have miracles, we go, wow, that was great. How can I have that again? You know, because we're not at the state of consciousness where we understand how to cause that to happen. All right. You know, sort of like Jesus, you know, sleeping on the story we know, he's sleeping on the boat, there's a storm, and you know, the disciples come to him, Master, you know, we're gonna perish. And he wakes up, you know, almost kinda like, I mean, I was having a good dream and you woke me up. And he just like, peace be still. And a preternatural experience happened. You follow me? So it's how do I get to that state of consciousness? Now, the following is a combination of sentences from different chapters in the book Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And it'll help us kind of understand how we are innately wired for preternatural experiences. We're preternaturally wired for that process. And this is what he says. You belong to the universe in which you live. I don't know if you caught that. You belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius in back of this vast array of ceaseless motion, this natural or original flow of life. Your soul belongs to the universe. Your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks fulfillment. So there must be a true pattern of yourself in the invisible creative intelligence. So it's, I mean, just read that sentence again. Your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks fulfillment. Remember, the invisible is constantly seeking to become visible, but God can only do for you what you allow God to do through you. All right? So this is in Science of Mind is talking about this idea. And Emerson says, every person is a doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite, through which God becomes you, through which the universe becomes you. So what's happening is there's this process that's always happening. This process of creation is always happening, but the creation can only happen if you allow it to happen through you. So if you were here and fortunate enough to watch Charles this morning, Charles had his eyes closed, his hands on the guitar, and was just grooving with that guitar. He was allowing the infinite to become moved through him as the finite we call music. You get the process? All right? So, you know, this is similar to the New Thought thinking that we are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea, or simply, I am God expressing. And last week we talked about the idea of creating a mantra. If you were here, it was a TED Talk where the guy was talking about you. He was kind of downing the idea of mission statements because they're too long. And he said you need to create a mantra, which is just a couple of words. So if you say we are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea, or I am the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea, the mantra to that is I am God expressing. You can't forget that, right? So you want to create something, just a few words that will keep you on track with this spiritual idea. So when Paramahansa Yogananda says, think of God all the time, this mantra is something that helps you to think of God all the time, no matter what you're in, what's going on. Is that all making sense? Okay. So Ernest Holmes, again, he expresses that there must be a true pattern of yourself in the invisible. A true pattern of yourself in the invisible. The true pattern of yourself is what we commonly call the Christ body, you know, the spiritual body that underlies your physical body, and likewise the Christ mind that underlies your personal mind. Now, there is something supernatural that underlies our physical body, because we're not sitting here thinking about, well, my blood needs to flow this way, we're not thinking about all the dynamics that make the body work, right? It's just working. So there's got to be something that's supernatural that's doing that process, okay? I read once, actually it was a preface to a yoga book, and I wish I could remember where it was, but it was a scientific explanation of how precise the universe has to work to keep it from destroying itself. Absolute precision that has to happen. So there's got to be some intelligence in the universe that's causing all that to happen. You follow what I'm saying? But that same intelligence is in your body, right? For you to be perfectly whole and well all of the time. So in other words, no matter what we're experiencing in our physical body, there's a spiritual body, a Christ body within us that remains whole and unaffected. Right? Why? Because it does not align itself with any of the circumstances of the physical body. Rather, it is by way of prayer and meditation that we strive to align ourselves with it. So when I'm struggling with something in my body, whatever it might be, it's because I'm out of alignment with the Christ body. I'm out of alignment with the true essence of who I really am. Okay? So likewise, there is a spiritual mind, a Christ mind within each one of us that remains whole and unaffected by all the things that we're going through, all the worries and fears and everything we're having. We ask God to please help us with that. But that God self is not in alignment with that. All right? Rather, instead of trying to align God with our insanity, our job through prayer and meditation is to learn how to align ourselves with it. Now you understand the mechanics of prayer and meditation. You get what I'm saying? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to meditate? It's so that I can align myself with the truth of who I really am. And our Christ body and our Christ mind are engaged by way of higher state. Are engaged by way of higher states of consciousness. How do I get to that alignment through a higher state of consciousness? Okay, in higher states of consciousness, we rise through those through the practice of prayer and meditation. And without this practice, our tendency is to remain at lower states of consciousness. So if I'm not taking time to practice prayer and meditation, and prayer is not about, oh God, I need this, oh God, I need that, oh God, I need this. Remember, that's not God you're talking to, that's Santa Claus, all right? Okay, the truth purpose of prayer and meditation is purely for alignment. For communion, right? And without this practice, our tendency, again, is like to remain at these lower states of consciousness, which is what Jesus was referring to in John 8:23, when he said, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. All right? Or a simple explanation, anybody ever heard of the Message Bible? Okay, so if you really want a real simple explanation of the Bible, get yourself a copy of the Message Bible, and this is what it says about that verse. You are tied to the mundane. I am in touch with what is beyond your horizons. You live in terms of what you can see and touch. I'm living by other terms. Remember when the disciples came and said, Master, eat? And he says, I have food you know not of. You know, I'm operating on a whole different level of consciousness. And then Jesus said, I told you that you were missing God in all that you do. You are at a dead end and don't know it. If you won't believe I am who I say I am, you are at the dead end of sin. You are missing God in your lives. And see, we think we have God because we're always saying praise God or whatever it might be. All right? But he's saying you're missing it. You're not really at that level of consciousness where you can think of God all the time. All right? And so Jesus is reiterating what Ernest Holmes and Emerson said, that we are completely unaware of who we truly are. Now, yes, the thing is we all have an intellectual understanding. Somebody said, you know, explain it to me. We can intellectually explain it to them, right? We can all, especially if you've been studying for a while, you can do that, all right? But we don't have a true understanding. Why? Because we're missing God, the God of our body and the God of our mind. Now, what this means is when disturbing situations happen in our lives, our tendency is to remain connected to the disturbing situation, right? So stuff happens and our all alignment, body, mind, and spirit is connected to whatever that is. So much so that we lose our perspective that lies within us, which is this invisible power and presence of God that is capable of lifting our body and our mind above that circumstance. That's, again, I know why I keep saying Bible verses over and over again. I'm actually saying over and over again until I get it. But I hope if I say it over and over again, you will also get it. You follow what I'm saying? So the verse, be still and know that I am God, is saying that when something is going on, don't align yourself with that. Keep yourself aligned with what I am. All right? And so, again, if you know to expand on that, we go to Ernest Holmes again. He says you are to believe with utmost simplicity and with complete faith that there is an inner pattern of your being, a real spirit of you, which is as eternal as God and indestructible as reality and as chainless as truth. This pattern is seeking to manifest through you. And back of it all is the will and the purpose of the universe, all the irresistible laws of being. And if, when in contention, you can learn to remain still, eventually the inner voice, the creative intelligence, will win. So when stuff is overwhelming us, it's in the process of being still that you allow the creative intelligence to win over the stuff that you're being challenged with. So it's imperative for us to come to understand what we are trying to do within ourselves. What is going on? What is really missing? All right? Well, the idea to get to that is we have to be able to let go of our stubbornness and resistance to the contention of what's happening in our lives. Okay? It's sort of like, you know, you say, well, how do I let go of this contention, you know, and just be with spirit? You know, we hold on to the contention. Well, it's sort of like banging your head against a huge rock. Right, the rock is not in contention with you. It is only you that's in contention with the rock. All right? And even though the rock is not putting up a fight, it will win. And you will not win. Does that make sense? Okay? So all the things we worry about, that's the rock that we're banging our head against. Okay? So, you know, somehow we have to learn how to surrender ourselves to the natural calling within us, all right? To subscribe to the higher calling that is within us. Now, we all hear it at some level. Every person in this room hears the higher calling. It happens all the time. Am I right? You hear this higher calling going on all the time, all right? But we all resist it at some level. Our spiritual goal is to stop resisting, stop fighting the inner urgings that we feel that are inviting us to come within and just listen. And see, what's happening, the ego wants to be engaged in what's going on out here. But that inner calling says, no, 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 don't engage, come within. Become still, and in that stillness, you'll be giving the guidance as to what to say when you do engage. You right? So it's an easy process. However, you know, whenever you find yourself in resistance or in contention, in fear or worry, there comes an inner calling inside that says, just be still, okay, and prepare yourself for a spiritual epiphany. Now, what's a spiritual epiphany? Well, the word epiphany means a perception of reality by means of sudden intuitive realization. All right, let me say it again. A perception of reality by means of sudden intuitive realization. It comes as a realization that God really is in charge. Now, think of the truth that we affirmed last week. God is good when? All the time. And the second part we learned is all the time God is good. Okay, it's almost like the retail industry. The ruling is rule number one: the customer is always right. Rule number two: if the customer is not right, refer back to rule number one. Okay, so it's the same thing. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Right, no matter what appears to be going on in your life. So we have two significant challenges that are facing us. One is realizing God really is in charge of my life and affairs. Okay? And the second one is being able to hold on to that realization when confronted by those circumstances or people who stir up negative, fearful energy within us. But the good news is, no matter what we are experiencing, God never stops being God. God never stops being good all the time. Okay? How many folks are watching God Friended Me? If you're not watching God Friended Me on TV, that is an absolute mind-blowing weekly series. Anybody see the latest one with the little girl who had a violin? All right, if you haven't seen it, I don't want to say the story. It was just so good. I said to Pam, who are these people who are writing this script? It is so powerful. And the other one is The Village. Who's seen that? Right, about everybody who's living in an apartment complex in New York City, I guess it is, and they all operate as a village. Those are the two movies, TV shows you got to watch every week. But, you know, in those, that demonstration, especially in God Friended Me, the kid who gets these texts from God telling him what he's to do, who's to help next, he is an atheist, right? But these things keep happening, the synchronicity that happens that brings all the pieces together and allows him to help somebody who he couldn't figure out how to help on his own. As I said, God gave Hollywood the job of really explaining what he wants us to understand. So anyway, in 2 Samuel 22:2, we read, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Now, for those who are taking notes, that was 2 Samuel 22:2. But we find the exact same verse in Psalm 18:2. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." And we find the same verse in Psalm 31:3, Psalm 62:2, and Psalm 71:3. It was that important that it kept going, you know, being re-expressed. So I repeat, to our good fortune, God never stops being God. God never stops being what? Good all of the time. Okay? Now, however, on the one hand, this is incredibly, incredibly great news. But on the other hand, it means if we do not do the work to attune ourselves to this inner flow of good, we will continue to experience the dis-ease that comes from resisting that natural flow of spirit within us. And notice how I took that word, dis-ease, all right? Because whatever that shows up in your body or your mind, that's because somehow you're resisting that natural flow. And to repeat what Emerson said, every one of us is a doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite, through which God becomes you, through which the universe becomes you. All right? Now, resisting the inner calling to allowing the Holy Spirit to express through you as you produces more stress on our mind, body, and emotions than we can possibly imagine. And the reason why I say more than we can possibly imagine, because if we could imagine the harm we're doing to ourselves by resisting the movement of God through us, we would have to be insane not to allow it to happen. You get it? Yeah. You know, if I knew that this process was going on, But I'm resisting it because I want to do my agenda as opposed to letting the agenda that is naturally percolating up from spirit within me. I would have to be insane. Course in Miracles matter says, Course in Miracles says we operate in insanity, all right? Because we want to do our agenda as opposed to God's agenda. Now, one of our biggest problems is we believe that we own ourselves. This is my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. But none of that is true. Nothing we have belongs to us. Everything belongs to God. And that is why in this absolute tithing, it's not 10%, it's 100%. Because nothing you have belongs to you. We are merely stewards of everything that comes through us. That's why, again, I keep mentioning Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, because their work is to try to give away everything they have before they die. But their problem is they're making it faster than they can give it away. Why are they making it faster so they can give it away? Because the universe says you are merely, you're operating as an instrument through which I can just let this abundance flow into the world. They're not stopping it in any way. You follow me? But if you stop it, then the universe goes, okay, well, you're blocking me, so let me find another way to get this out there. Does that make sense? And that's just with money. That's with ideas and all kinds of things that, that need to be shared with the universe. If you're blocking it somehow, then spirit will just find another instrument to let it pass through. Okay. So, as we read earlier, your soul belongs to the universe. Your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks to express. So our spiritual work is to learn how to flow with the flow, to flow with the movement of God. And the great news is it is not something we have to do. Rather, it is a divine process we have to allow to unfold. You get it? There's no doing in this. Because right away the ego goes, what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything but stop being resistant and contentious and just let it flow through you. Okay? It is our spiritual work to learn how to just be. To learn how to be still and know that right now in this moment, a miracle is trying to happen through me. In every moment of our lives, we want to be able to remain open to the preternatural experience. We want to be open to this miracle flowing through us. So when stuff happens, that is why, again, what is the to-do thing? Be still. And what? And know that I am God. I'm God seeking to express through you, all right? So we read in Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, for surely, again, this is the process. Remember now, Spirit is always seeking to move through you. So in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to allow harm to come to you, plans to give you hope and a future filled with joy. So Spirit is going, I know what's coming through you, but are you going to let that happen? That's the process. Many are called, but what? Choose. Say it again. Many are called, but few choose. I know in Scripture it says few are chosen, but few choose to let that process unfold. Okay, and a Lenten booklet from a while ago talks about this how-to process. What we might want to think about as we're living our lives. It says, and this is something that when I read it, I thought to myself, this is what I go through. There are days when I dream about the details. Who knows what I'm talking about, right? There are days when I dream about the details, wondering how the particulars of my life will unfold. But if I feel uncertain about life's journey, I remind myself to stay calm and remain focused on God. As I establish healthy spiritual habits in my life, I am able to honor the path I am on. Prayer and meditation and living a God-centered life are ways that I can take care of my spiritual well-being. Now remember, Paramahansa Yogananda said, read less, meditate more, right? And think about God all the time, okay? And again, that thing about read less, you might go, well, no, I need to read, But even Albert Einstein got to a point where he said, I stopped reading because I was receiving this divine, this information coming through me, and I just spent more time in the silence, and that's how he was coming up with these ideas that other scientists were going, where are you getting that from? You get it? Okay? Now, there it is again, what we have to be, have been saying all over and over again, prayer and meditation and living the God-centered life are the ways that I can take care of my spiritual well-being. And that is our spiritual quest. That being to learn and live the spiritual disciplines necessary to take care of our spiritual well-being. There's a discipline process to it, all right? And all of us understand the concept of discipline, but do we keep up with the concept of discipline? Like, you know, who was that? I can't think it was in where I was reading this, but they were talking about part of the spiritual process is healthy eating, healthy living, you know, doing those things that are necessary to keep your well-being, you know, up. Willie and I were talking about as we age, you know, many of us go, I'm too tired to work out. But working out in movement is part of what keeps you healthy. Some of you are complaining about having to walk from here to the office. You need to walk to the office and walk back and walk there and walk back and walk there and walk. I mean, I don't get it. And I don't care how old you're sitting, you are in here sitting. Pam has got seniors way older than you who are doing that walking and whatnot. Thursdays, they do these walking classes. They drive to these places and do these long walking classes. You know, and your oldest student is 100 years old. She got several in the 90s and their 80s, you know. So don't be telling me you can't walk from here to the office. Right? My chiropractor, who, we used to be Dr. Holding, and, you know, he passed away, and we have a new chiropractor, Dr. New. And you knew, yeah, N-O-U, right? And he's phenomenal. He's just phenomenal. But he talks about the thing. He says, you got to keep moving. Yeah, don't let yourself get to a point where you say, I can't do this. That when I walk in the morning, I know I'm getting off track, but there's an older guy, he walks with a walker, and he walks very slow, but he's out there every morning. I'm out there doing his walk. Yeah. Exactly, you know. And, you know, I think of the challenge, you know, we may have is really understanding what it means to take care of our spiritual well-being. We have an idea, a good idea, what it means to take care of our physical body and our, you know, our mental well-being. We understand that, you know, the ramifications, we know what the ramifications are of not taking care of our physical body and our mental well-being, right? Okay? But I think the problem we have, you know, like, for example, we go without food and water and proper exercise and relaxation, you know, the repercussions that can gradually come up on us, we know about those. But if we go for a while without prayer and meditation, for the most part, there are no symptoms that we can identify as saying, you know, this is because I haven't prayed or meditated. You know what I'm saying? There's no absolute. So if you, which blows my mind when I'm watching TV and a guy, you know, he's just ate a chili hot dog with, you know, French fries with cheese on him and the whole bit, and he's got an upset stomach and doesn't understand why, right? But if you take this drug, it'll make you feel better. And then in the commercial, he's eating it again because now he can take the drug, right? That makes what? Absolutely no sense whatsoever. Okay, but. You know, but so we know if we abuse our bodies in our minds, we know what the ramifications are. But we don't really understand totally the ramifications of not, you know, doing the spiritual work necessary. So not taking care of your spiritual self is sort of like not changing your oil on a regular basis. See, your car can go for a long time and seem fine, but by the time the repercussions from not changing your oil regularly become evident, there are so many problems that it can be overwhelming, right? Now, the main idea we may be missing is an absolute knowing that we are truly spiritual beings having a human experience, okay? Now, if you struggle with that, think about this. God made us out of God's self. So all he had was his own essence to make us out of. It is the only material that God had, the substance of his own being. The only mind it's God mind. And so God instilled God mind within us. You know, the only spirit of God was God's own spirit. So God implanted that within each one of us. Thus, the question posed by the psalmist in chapter 8, verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is God mindful of us? Because we are God expressing. All right? We are God expressing. Okay? Now, one of unity's main tenets is that there's a spark of divinity within every human being. Thus, the truth of the greeting, the Christ in me beholds a Christ in you. All right? Now, British poet Robert Browning said, you can desecrate but never lose the divine spark. The Christ presence within you, no matter what is going on, that spark is always going to be there. It is just as Jesus promised in Matthew 28:20. He says, I am with you always, even to the close of the ages, so that Christ's presence can never go away. All right? You have to understand about God. God cannot make choices to not be God. I know in the Old Testament, when you're reading the Old Testament, it looks like God is making these choices, right? But when the New Testament came, Jesus came to say, no, that's not how it is. Okay? And again, remember, the Bible is the evolution of man's understanding of God. So in the beginning, there was this very crude understanding. But as the Bible, as humankind evolved over time, the Bible began to evolve until we came into the New Testament. Does that make sense? Okay? And again, you heard me say before that when Moses came off of Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and he saw the people and they were partying, orgy, the whole thing was going on. And he looked and he thought about it. And he goes, you know, these are very evolved commandments that I just got. Too evolved for where we are. And so he took them and he threw them and broke them because he realized that in the essence from which they came from God, nobody could comprehend them. So the breaking was to break them down to a level where a person could understand, okay, well, I can understand not killing, not stealing, you know, honor my mother and father. You follow me? Yeah. But that is just the very surface level of what those commandments were meant to be. Okay? So that's why Jesus said, my deeds are for today, because he was trying to teach the people and they were going, yeah, I ain't getting it. Right? I mean, even in scripture, when the folks went away, the disciples said to Jesus, Master, we ain't getting it. And so he said, how long do I have to suffer with you? You know? Right? But that's sort of the process. But he said, my deeds are for today. You can understand a miracle. But my words are forever. Which means the time will come where you will evolve to the level of consciousness where you can understand me. Okay? So, you know, we can destroy and lose the essence of our bodies. You know, we can eat wrong, or you know, not exercise, do all those things that cause our bodies to break down, or you know, do things that cause our mind to break down. We can never lose that spark of divinity. Okay. However, as we have all discovered, life without spiritual guidance and direction, spiritual protection and intervention, spiritual comfort and healing becomes an awful, awfully bleak existence. Okay. Now, Ernest Holm offers this for us to think about. Suppose you were to think of it in this way. There's a spirit in you, and that spirit is God. Whether or not I understand it, there is a real myself which forever exists in pure spirit. I had nothing to do with it. I merely awoke and discovered it. I did not give it to myself. I cannot withdraw it from myself. I can only accept it. There is a real spirit in each one of us, and we can only accept it. See, that is our charge, to accept the reality that we are spiritual beings. What does that mean? It means making a firm decision to live from all that we have learned about how to live the spiritual life. And yes, again, I agree, this is easier said than done, but it is doable. There are pieces of the spiritual process you can begin to live right now. So you do that, and you keep raising the bar for yourself, okay? Now, in the gym, years ago, there was a bodybuilder called Butch Harmon. He was a state trooper, And he held, you remember Butch? Yeah. And he held all of the powerlifting records for the police and firemen's competition. So one day we're in the gym, and Butch had 650 pounds on the bar that he was getting ready to bench press. That's 14 45-pound plates. You put that much weight on the bar, and you literally see the bar bending on the bench, right? So all of us ran over, and we said, Butch, can we give you a spot or something? No, I got this, right? Got on it, did his thing, boom, put it back up, all right, and stood up. Now, before he did it, we doubted if it was possible. After he did it, we now knew that it was possible. You get it? Okay. Jesus likewise piled on the bar of life the weight of every human excuse that we come up with for not living the spiritual life. Before he did it, nobody believed that it was possible. But after he pressed the weight of life's challenges that tried to crush him and then he rose and walked away from it, we know now that all he did is possible. And fortunately, unlike Jesus, the only weight we have to lift off for ourselves is the weight of our stubbornness and our resistance to living the spiritual life. And I want to end with this. Live your truth, beloved. Become who you are created to be. Search for your life's purpose, passion, and direction. And rejoice as you accept your highest good. Amen.